Hello out there, everyone. This is your host, John Shomo, of the podcast Then and Now. This is our 10th episode of our second season. On this episode, we will deal with facts for the week from April 30th through May 6th, facts, anniversaries, historical events, birthdays, etc. We will tackle three topics in the news. One of them is a very local one in nature, but we'll tackle our three topics. And then we will finish with our three good questions segment, and we actually have three good questions for you this week, new ones. So we'll hit those and see if you can give us an answer. If you have any feedback, we appreciate feedback from listeners. If you have any feedback, any questions you want to ask, any comments on the show, or if you want to try to answer one or two of the three good questions, please get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. The email address is 3TREEGoodQuestions@gmail.com. Also seen on our logo, if you can see the logo where you pick up the podcast. All right, let's get started with April 30th, events of April 30th. On April 30th, 1789, George Washington was inaugurated on the steps of the Federal Building in New York City as the first president of the United States. John Adams inaugurated also that day as the first vice president of the United States. Louisiana became the 18th state on that date, April 30th, 1812. Adolf Hitler committed suicide in the bunker in Berlin, on April 30th, 1945, as Russian troops were really just blocks away from the bunker. That was the end for Hitler. Good. On April 30th, 1975, that means we're coming up on 50 years since this happened, Saigon, the capital of South Vietnam, fell to the communists, to the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong, really, for all intents and purposes, ending the Vietnam War. The U.S. had removed most combat troops, almost all combat troops by then, and the pictures are seared in our memories, those of us who were around. I was a junior in high school at that time. Helicopters perched on top of the, very precariously, perched on top of the U.S. Embassy building in Saigon, evacuating the last people that could possibly get out, flying them on those helicopters out to aircraft carriers offshore, and then dumping the helicopters at the end into the ocean. Just a very, very scrambled and really tragic and embarrassing, quite honestly, situation for the United States. But that's when the Vietnam War, for all intents and purposes, ended. A couple of birthdays for April 30th. The great Willie Nelson will be 92. Happy birthday to Willie Nelson. And Gal Gadot will be 40 on April 30th. May 1st is celebrated as Law Day in the United States. On that date in 1707, Scotland and England united to form the Kingdom of Great Britain. U.S. troops killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of al-Qaeda, on May 1st, 2011. That's an unforgettable day for me and for a lot of us, I think. I was watching a Phillies-Mets game, I think, on Sunday Night Baseball, and the crowd started reacting, and you could almost see the news spreading through the crowd at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia, I think it was. And that, well, I wanted to flip over. What's going on? What's the news that's coming out? And you could tell that they wanted to wait until they had it officially confirmed, but something had happened of a, I think in the United States eyes, certainly a positive nature in the Middle East. And then finally, President Obama walked down that hallway, the front hallway of the White House, and into the doorway of the East Room and announced that U.S. troops had indeed killed the man who plotted the 9/11 attacks against us. Quite a moment there. A couple of birthdays on May 1st. Concrete Charlie, Chuck Bednarik, the great Eagles Hall of Famer, Philadelphia Eagles Hall of Famer, two-way player, just tough as nails. Chuck Bednarik, born 100 years ago, May 1st, 1925. He was something, that guy. Played 60 minutes in his final game, which was the NFL Championship game in Franklin Field in 1960, where the Eagles defeated the Green Bay Packers. Also born that same day, May 1st, 1925, 100 years ago, was the fourth American in space, the Navy commander Scott Carpenter, who flew a Mercury mission three or four orbits around the Earth in 1962. Moving to May 2nd, the following people died on May 2nd in various years. Leonardo da Vinci, in 1519, Joe McCarthy, the senator from Wisconsin, in 1957, and FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover in 1972. That's quite a trio there, isn't it? On May 2nd, 1939, Lou Gehrig, first baseman of the New York Yankees, told his manager that to take him out of the lineup, he did not want to play that day. That was major news because Gehrig had played in 2,130 consecutive games for the Yankees. He wasn't feeling well. People had noticed that, you know, he was kind of not as strong as he used to be. He went up to the Mayo Clinic soon after and found out that he had ALS, which is the disease that basically bears his name today. He passed away from it in 1941. What a story that is. Birthdays on May 2nd, the great soccer hero David Beckham of England will be 50. And Paul George, not playoff peed very much, is he? Paul George will be 35, the NBA star. May 3rd, 1963, Birmingham, Alabama police used attack dogs and fire hoses against middle school and high school kids who were peacefully marching for civil rights in that city. Those images and videos, film back at that time, were shown nationwide in newspapers and on the evening news. President Kennedy certainly did not react well to seeing that, as well he shouldn't have. And that was kind of a turning point in convincing people who weren't really paying attention that this was getting out of hand. The fight for civil rights was a just one, and the forces denying civil rights in the South were really not to be looked up to very much, putting it mildly. On May 3rd, 1979, Margaret Thatcher was elected as the first female prime minister in the history of Great Britain. That's quite a milestone, and she was prime minister for 11 years. Frankie Valli, lead singer of the Four Seasons, still around. He'll be 91 on May 3rd. James Brown, another great singer, the godfather of soul, the one and only James Brown, born May 3rd, 1933. You young folks who never saw James Brown perform, look him up on YouTube or something. I'll tell you what, he really put on a show. He was something. Birthdays, again, in addition to those two guys, Dulé Hill will be 50. Dulé Hill played Charlie, President Bartlett's assistant, on The West Wing, for those of us who are great West Wing fans, and for those of you who watched it in class while I taught over the years. Ty Lue, the coach of the 2016 world champion Cleveland Cavaliers basketball team. Ty Lue will be 48 on May 3rd. Five-time major champion in golf Brooks Koepka will be 35 on that date. May 4th, in most parts of the world, in most parts of the United States, that has Star Wars connotations now. Around here, it means something else to a lot of us. On May 4th, 1970, about noon on campus at Kent State University, not far from where I'm sitting right now, four students were killed, nine were wounded, shot by Ohio National Guard troops who were on campus because of protests that were going on against the Vietnam War. So May 4th, to a lot of us, has a lot different meaning than a Star Wars reference. The birthday on May 4th that I want to highlight is Rory McIlroy, who will be 36, probably enjoying life very much right now. Rory last month, as you recall, finally won the Grand Slam of golf. He's won all four major titles, only the sixth person in the modern history of golf to do so, when he won the Masters back in April. Happy birthday to Rory. I'm sure it's a happy birthday for him this year. May 5th is Cinco de Mayo, for those of you who celebrate. Lots of stuff happened on May 5th. Cy Young of the Boston Red Stockings threw the first perfect game in Major League history on May 5th, 1904. It was a 3-0 win over the Philadelphia Athletics. A substitute teacher teaching in a physical education class in Tennessee, John Scopes, was arrested 100 years ago on May 5th for teaching the theory of evolution in public school. That set off one of the great trials. It was known as the Trial of the Century back in 1925, the Scopes Monkey Trial, it was also known as, where a couple of the most famous lawyers in the history of the United States, William Jennings Bryan and Clarence Darrow, dueled in the courtroom. They broadcast it on the new format of radio in 1925. Scopes was convicted and eventually had to pay the grand sum of $10, I think. On May 5th, 1961, Alan Shepard became the first American to fly in space when he took a Mercury capsule up on a suborbital 15-minute flight from Cape Canaveral. Karl Marx, one of the founders of communism, born May 5th, 1818, and the singer Adele will be 37 on May 5th. Finally this week, for May 6th, the Hindenburg. Hindenburg was a leader in Germany back in the day. They named a Zeppelin after him. These Zeppelins, blimps, if you will, were large, very large compared to the ones I see flying over my house periodically here near Akron. The Hindenburg was a passenger vehicle that was a luxury liner, if you will, in the air for rich people to fly across the Atlantic and get from Europe to the United States. The Hindenburg was completing such a flight on May 6, 1937, and was just about to moor at a mooring station in Lakehurst, New Jersey, when it burst into flames and crashed to the ground. It wasn't too far off the ground when it happened. Some folks were killed. Most folks survived it, unbelievably, I'd say. The radio call of that from a live newsman who was there is one of the great moments, I think, in audio or visual journalism. I don't remember the fella's name, but "Oh, the humanity" was one of the phrases that he used as he watched in horror as that happened. British runner Roger Bannister, medical student, ran the first sub-4-minute mile on May 6, 1954 in a track meet in Great Britain. Birthdays on May 6th include Sigmund Freud, the great psychologist, born on May 6, 1854. The late, great Willie Mays, probably the greatest ball player of my lifetime, born May 6, 1931. He passed away last summer, as you may recall. And Bob Seger, one of my favorites from Detroit, one of the great things to come out of that state. There aren't that many, but he's one of them. May 6th will be his 80th birthday. Bob Seger will be 80, which makes me feel pretty old, actually. All right, there's our birthdays and events for this week. First of all, in the topics this week, I'm privileged to be a member of the committee that selects members for the Talmadge Athletics Hall of Fame, and we had our induction ceremony over the weekend. I want to give a shout out to the newest members of the Talmadge Athletics Hall of Fame. They are Katie Kuzier Lindy, Kelly Klusman Reyes, Coach Joe Vassalotti, Jerry Ray, Alan Bach, Carlo Testa, Patrick Ferguson, the late Larry Carver, and one of my favorites, Galena Seeker, who is no longer with us, sadly. Galena was way, way, way more than a bus driver. Ask anybody who played during those times. She was a team mom. She did laundry on our road trips. She could fix your glove like nobody else, your baseball mitt, your softball mitt. Galena is just one of a kind, and we miss her, and it's very good that she'll be enshrined in the Talmadge Athletics Hall of Fame. Okay, number two, the NFL draft, as you may know, took place last weekend. Unfortunately, much of the coverage and much of the talk focused on a player that wasn't getting drafted until the fifth round on Saturday. That, of course, would be Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders, son of Colorado coach, the Hall of Famer Deion Sanders. ESPN's draft guru, Mel Kiper, who's been doing this for like 40 years, he was just beating the draft Shedeur drum. He thought Shedeur should have been the first player picked in the draft, and he was just railing all weekend. I didn't watch ESPN that much, but I've seen it since on social media. He was just railing on and on and on about what buffoons all these teams were for not picking Shedeur Sanders. Finally got picked by, you know it, the Cleveland Browns in the fifth round, which is kind of interesting because they had previously drafted another quarterback. They drafted Oregon quarterback Dillon Gabriel in the third round. So the Browns are apparently going to go to training camp in July with a 40-year-old starter, Joe Flacco, who set the town on fire a year or so ago until the playoffs. 3-year veteran backup Kenny Pickett, who they acquired in the offseason, the injured Deshaun Watson, who won't be playing this year, and two rookies, Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. I just, you know, I have problems a lot of times with the decisions the Browns make. This is really curious. It's interesting to me. This is in my opinion. Watching the video of Cleveland's draft room when this choice was announced of Shador in the fifth round, they focused on Coach Kevin Stefanski and General Manager Andrew Berry, and their looks while they were applauding the pick looked like a hostage video or something to me. They didn't look extremely enthused about the pick. Not, oh boy, we really got a steal in the fifth round here or anything like that. And this is totally my opinion, my thought is that pick was driven by the owners of the Cleveland Browns, Jimmy and Dee Haslam, who crave attention, good or bad. Look at some of their decisions that they've made in the past 10 years or so. I have a feeling that Kevin and Coach Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry were told by ownership to get Shador in here for the publicity. I may be wrong. That's my opinion, but I got a hunch that that's the case. It should provide for interesting histrionics as a training camp opens in late July. How many of those five will be with the Browns when they open the regular season in September? Time will tell. But that was curious at best. The third topic I want to tackle is on a more serious note here. And it deals with the media and media independence in the United States in these days of Trump. Paramount Plus, the company that owns, among many other things, CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, has a proposed merger on the table with a company called Skydance Media. I am not familiar with Skydance. It's another media company to me, and they have proposed a merger. Well, this deal is posing big, troubling ramifications for CBS in particular and journalism in general. What am I talking about? Well, let me try to explain. The executive producer of 60 Minutes, Bill Owens, resigned a week ago, last Tuesday, because he said he had lost his journalistic independence, inferring that there's some meddling going on at the ownership level. President Trump has attacked 60 Minutes repeatedly, as he does any news outlet that doesn't report the best, most shining, positive things about him. And Paramount's top shareholder, a woman named Sherry Redstone, is a longtime friend of Donald Trump. And she's eager, I'm sure, to get the administration's approval of the merger. The administration has to approve mergers like this. On 60 Minutes this past Sunday, Scott Pelley, who's kind of the lead now journalist on 60 Minutes, closed the broadcast last minute and a half or so by bravely defending Bill Owens, who had resigned, and rebuking the Paramount Plus ownership for, in so many words, bending the knee for Donald Trump. It was a moment that I think former CBS journalist, the late Edward R. Murrow, would have been proud of. He would have been very proud of Scott Pelley Sunday evening. If you want to know more about who Ed Murrow was, there was a great film made 15 years or so ago called Good Night and Good Luck, which was Ed Murrow's tagline at the end of his news broadcasts for CBS, starting on radio in the 1940s and running through the early 1960s. Good Night and Good Luck is a great watch, by the way. You want to watch it if you've never seen it before. The students that I had in history class, many of them saw it in history class. I thought it was important. It's an important topic. Murrow was defending his free speech in general, his particularly, but free speech in general, during the era of McCarthyism. Joe McCarthy, the senator who I mentioned in the birthdays, was attacking the media, much like Trump and his minions attack the media today. The similarities are frightening to those of us who cherish free speech and the First Amendment. I think Scott Pelley should be applauded. I'm very closely watching what happens here with the 60 Minutes or with the CBS Paramount Plus merger with Skydance. But it's about time somebody showed some bravery from the journalism world. And Scott Pelley, you did that on Sunday night, and we salute you. I think there are a lot of us who would agree. Okay, now we move. Real big adjustment there. to our three good questions segment of the podcast. If you have a good question, or if you have an answer to one of our three good questions this week, or want to provide one for us, many of you have, and I appreciate that. Get in touch with us. Again, our email address is 3TREEGoodQuestions@gmail.com. The first question this week comes from me, your host. Only six college football programs have produced four or more number one overall picks in the NFL draft. Which ones are they? Six schools have produced four or more overall number one NFL draft choices over the years. Which six schools? The second question comes from Jeff Cole. What do the initials of the automobile company BMW stand for in English? What do the initials of BMW stand for? And the third question popped up in my head after Eugenio Suarez of the Arizona Diamondbacks this past Saturday night hit four home runs in a game in Phoenix versus the Atlanta Braves. The Braves won the game in extra innings 8-7, which makes it a rather unique occurrence in the history of Major League Baseball. How many times out of 19, there have been 19 times where a Major League Baseball player hit four home runs in a game? Out of those 19, 16 of those times, that player was on the winning team. You would think if they had a guy hit four home runs in a game, the team would win. But there have now been three, and Eugenio Suarez was the third player ever to, well, I just gave away the number, didn't I? The third player to hit four home runs in a game in a losing cause. Who were the other two? One was in 1986, and one was in 1896. Who were the two other players in the history of Major League Baseball to hit four home runs in a game for a team that lost the game, as Eugenio Suarez did last Saturday night for the Arizona Diamondbacks? If you have answers to any of those questions, or as I said, if you have a question for us, please get a hold of us at our email address, TREE3GoodQuestions@gmail.com. That'll do it for this week. We had a lot to go through. We got a lot to go through next week, probably, the way things are shaping up. So stay tuned. We always appreciate our listeners, appreciate hearing feedback from you. Run into people every now and then who say they listen to the podcast. That's really fabulous. Tell a friend, I guess I'd say. So thanks for listening. Thanks for your continued support of the podcast. You can get us on Spotify. This is John Shomo. This is Then and Now. Good night and good luck.